tonight, I want to cover several things. First of all, I just want to tackle the word evangelism. Because I think we get, and I don't know about you, and it may just be because we all come from kind of different backgrounds and faith practices or whatever, but evangelism is a scary word for a lot of people. So you're going to hear servant evangelism, because what are we doing? We're serving people, and that's how we would, quote, evangelize, right? Or you might hear power evangelism. So when we pray for someone to get healed and God's power shows up, that could immediately open up a doorway into them knowing Christ, you know? So prophetic evangelism, when you prophesy over somebody, anytime you hear that word paired with evangelism, I know a lot of times people just hear that evangelism word, and you might have, or maybe it's just me, you might have that old school kind of, you know, pray the prayer, get your ticket, you know, so you can have fire insurance, right, and that whole thing. Well, I am not saying that we are not going to offer Jesus, okay? Because we will. And when the door opens and the Lord provides an opportunity, the ultimate treasure hunt is to bring someone into the kingdom. That is the ultimate treasure hunt. But I'm here to tell you that what we're going to do this weekend, if we get to do that, fabulous. But that is not the only thing that we're doing. That's not the one thing that we're going after. What I mean by that is people will often train in evangelism where you are pushing them to say the prayer, where you're pushing salvation on them. Not too long ago, we were driving around town, and I don't know who this church was, but they were at one of the corners of a main thoroughfare near the highway, and they were holding picket signs. And my heart broke. I mean, you should have heard me in the car. I was like, oh, no, we got to get out. We got to go talk to these people. Like, I wanted to immediately get out and go, hi, what are you doing? Oh, I know you love Jesus. That's so awesome. Did you come to Jesus this way? Did you come to Jesus with picket signs saying turn or burn, or, you know, repent? You know, I mean, it's like, did you come to Jesus that way? Probably not. Do you know what I mean? But we were on a mission, and my husband was like, we can't do this today, Cindy. And I said, Jesus. I just drove past them and just put out my hands, and I just like, oh. Because here's the thing. I know in their heart they mean well. You know, like they mean well. They're at least out there. They're trying. It's just their method. I'd like to know how many have they brought to the Lord that way. You know what I mean? Like, I think they're trying, but that's not how we're going to do it. And it really goes back to, how did you get saved? How did you come to Jesus? You know, some people have grown up in the church their whole life and they've just always known Jesus, and that's fabulous. But those of us who came to know Jesus a little bit later, you know, we have lots of different stories, I'm sure, that we can tell. But the most important thing that I think most people will say to you when you come to really know Christ, not pray the prayer, but when you come to really know Christ in relationship, it was love that did it. It was his kindness that brought you to repentance. It might have been a power encounter, or it might have just been childlike faith, you know, that said, I mean, I was 9, and I'm like, I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. But then it wasn't until 7th grade when I was like having an encounter with God in nature, and he was talking to me through the grass on the field and the trees in the sky, and he was talking to me, and I knew it was him. And that's all I can tell you. And so I know each one of you have your own testimony about how you came to the Lord, but I want you to really think about that, because somebody said a little message, maybe invited you to a church service. Somebody else might have, you know, grandmother might have prayed over you, or you might have learned some songs at a VBS, or, you know, there are usually seeds planted, watered, you know, it's sometimes a process. Now, some people have those crazy, amazing testimonies where God shows up and they're automatically radically healed of whatever, or, you know, everybody has a different story, and that's great. All I'm saying to you is, it's important that we think relationally, and that love is the way that we're going to do this, because that's how we're supposed to do everything in the kingdom. So we're going to be authentic. We're going to be real. There's not going to be any fake faces. We're not going to come at them with beating the Bible, and we're not going to be throwing tracts in their face, you know. But we can have the tracts available. If you want to have them, you can have some. But my point is how we're going to approach what we're going to do here is really servant evangelism, in the sense that we want to minister to the community. We want to do some practical acts of love. We want to just be kind. We want to, you know, we're going to offer, we'll talk through the practical stuff we're going to do at the laundromat and the car wash and so forth. But we're just trying to love the community first. We're going to prayer walk. We're going to knock on doors. That's going to be the most intimidating part, I think, is you getting outside of your comfort zone to do what's weird, you know, and have conversation with a total stranger. For most people, it's the fear of man in doing any of this stuff. So the fact that all of you are here means you're the brave ones. So you win a gold star, you know, because you're here and you're saying, here I am, Lord, send me. I always say, I'm a fool for Jesus. Who's fool are you? You know, so I'll do whatever you want, God. You know, if he can use a donkey, he can use me, right? So I want you to just think about your salvation story, what led you to the Lord. Just remember that. And remember, we've been talking about our transformation stories too, and I think the Lord's intentional about that, because I think there's going to come opportunity, even if it's not this weekend, there's always an opportunity for you to share your story. Some aspect of how God did something in your life that makes it personal, makes you vulnerable, it makes you real and authentic, and that's what people want to know. They want to know you, and they want to know that you actually care about them. You're not just there doing an outreach, check, check, check. You know, you're not just there because, oh, you're being a church person. That's really lovely. Thanks for my quarters, for my laundry. You know what I mean? Like, we don't want to just do that. We don't want to just, you know, hand people quarters and say, hey, can I buy your laundry? Hey, can I pay for a free car wash or whatever? And then that's it. We want to have conversation. Hey, do you live in the neighborhood? Love your car? You know, I mean, how long have you been here? So, you know, do you work? Do you go to school? What do you tell me about your family? You want to be relational. You know, so regardless of age, whether we run into kids at the park, you know, you always, let me just say this right now, when you run into kids at the park, you always talk to the adults first. I think most adults know that, but I've had to tell that to some, like, college students and younger. Like, don't just run up and start talking to the kids necessarily all the time. Like, you know, I mean, if you're there on the playground, but make sure that you reach the parents or whatever so they don't think you're some crazy person, you know, in the park wanting to kidnap their kid. But so think relationally. So everything that we're going to be doing, it's all about being real, authentic. We're going to have a lot of uncomfortable moments, I promise. It will be awkward. When I've done this before, we've had lots of stories. We've had people come to the door half naked or drunk. We've had people invite us into their homes and we don't go in. We say, no, thank you. We'll stay out here. We're not trying to be a bother. We don't want to go inside. Now, you guys are all grown-ups. I was working with youth in college at one point in time and I did this and there was like no way I'd let them in. You're adults. You could go in if you want, but I would never go in alone, okay? But it's easier and better for you to do, like Jesus, two by two in ministry. And so when we do the prayer walking part, especially as we go door to door, do we have the cards, Jay? We're going to go two by two. And really what I'd like to do is create teams of four or six, really, would be ideally. Because then what you can do... Awesome, thanks. Because then what we can do is have two, you guys take turns, right? So everybody gets to fail three times, right? Or you can't stop. So you have to fail at least three times. You can't graduate from outreach training. And failing means, you know, they slam the door in your face or say, no, I'm not going to let you pray with me or whatever, right? So it's okay. You're just going to have to, we'll get over that part. The more we do it, it'll be all right. What we're going to do is when we do the prayer walking, we'll start on Friday at 1 o'clock. We'll meet here first, do a little bit of worship and prayer time, because and worship is going to be key. I know people were like, why do you have worship so much this weekend? Because we want to carry the presence. we're not going to have the big full band and all that. It'll probably just be me and Chris and I think in the service, so hopefully we'll have a few more, But we've got to enter into the presence so that we can host his presence, so we can leak out his presence. Y'all, that's what we're about, right? We don't want to stay. Remember when we talked about the whole heart? We don't want to stay in our function part. We're like, check, 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 doing this stuff. We want to activate our emotion and activate our heart in it as well. We want to be wholehearted in all of this. So when you go door to door, we're going to have these little cards. Did we not make the prayer? You got them over here? No, I'm talking about like the prayer cards. Yeah. Okay, so that's not these then. This is just the other ones. Okay, that's all right. Cool, cool. So we're going to have little cards, kind of like the little blue cards that we have visitors fill out, you know, information. What we're going to do mainly Friday is prayer canvas. And what I mean by that is we are exercising our right and authority to take dominion over the land. So I don't know if you guys are here or remember when we did cleansing the land. I'm going to do another one of those teachings here in the next month or so. But essentially, God was here first. He created the land, right? Was it the third day of creation? So he created the land. And it's everything on the earth is like a battery. It will hold a positive or negative charge, okay? So if the land has been defiled by sin, by war, by death, by whatever it is, it could carry that negative spiritual energy, demonic attachments, things like that, okay? And what we want to do is cleanse the land, pray through that, and make it holy. How do I know we can do that? Because God said. Because that's what he did in scripture. He said, Moses, take off your feet for you're standing on holy ground. Why? Because his presence was there. Okay? So he made time holy. He made land holy. He made people, the priests, holy. He made the furniture in the tabernacle holy. So I'm just saying, we have the ability to, when we sanctify things like our imagination, we're sanctifying it, means we're setting it apart to make it holy unto God, okay? So when we're prayer walking, every place where we place our feet, we are taking authority over the land. Now, here's a concept, and we'll go into this more another time, but how many of you pay taxes? Should be everybody in the room. Okay. You pay city taxes, you pay state taxes, you pay federal taxes. Taxes give you legal right and authority to land. I have greater authority over my home because it's my home, but I pay rent in an office building downtown in New Braunfels, so I have staked that land. It is mine. I pay rent there in that office building. So I have greater authority in my little office space, but I went ahead and just declared the whole building. And, oh, by the way, I pay taxes for this city, so I have some say in what happens in this city. That is legal right. That is legal authority. So in your prayers, you are exercising your right as a citizen of heaven, as a kingdom kid, to be able to say, Satan, you get to get out because we're taking dominion now. Because that's what the Lord said to do, to take dominion over the earth. So as we prayer walk, be mindful of knowing, like when I tell people when we pray for people, or, you know, if we ever touch people, that's a prayer. Like, to me, this is prayer. I don't have to necessarily say words. If I touch, that's prayer, because I have the spiritual intention to bless when I touch people, right? So think about that when you're prayer walking through the city. We're going to go, you know, two people may go up to the door while the other two people kind of hang back, so we're not like all up in the front door, right? We've got these little cards. So here, let me just role play this a little bit. So we're going to go up to the door. We'll have two people at the front door, a couple of people hanging back. You guys be praying and kind of keep watch, you know, because some of the areas in this neighborhood that we're going to, there's some shady kinds of situations that are going on here. They aren't always really safe. That's why we're going during the day and not at night, okay? This is an area that has been talked about in New Braunfels, and I'm brand new to New Braunfels, but it's been talked about in a very negative manner. West Side, that whole section that we're going to prayer walk over, has had lots of crime, lots of negative things, lots of security stuff where people are literally having their homes broken into during the day. So there's just a lot of stuff, okay? So we're coming in asking the Father, what is he saying and what is he declaring over this land? And the question I pose to you is, what would it look like when heaven invades this area? What would it look like? I want you to use your sanctified imagination, and I want you to ask Jesus what it would look like when every person in this neighborhood feels safe, when there's no more crime, when families are whole. Right? You hear what I'm saying? When there isn't sin happening in the homes, there isn't abuse, there isn't alcoholism or drugs, there isn't trafficking things. Like, imagine if it's not that, then what would it look like? Like, that's what we're praying into. We're releasing life. We're releasing security. We're releasing joy. We're releasing safety. We're releasing dreams where people can dream again. There's a lot of hopelessness in this neighborhood. Okay, so we are releasing prosperity. We're releasing blessing for people's jobs, ingenuity when it comes to ideas for inventions or creative things for business. Or do you hear what I'm saying? We're going to unlock the creativity that is in this land. And so that's the prayer. If we do nothing all weekend long, if we don't see a single body come to any of the things that we're trying to set up here, but we pray, then we've done some major work this weekend. Do you hear what I'm saying? Like, that's what a successful event's going to look like to me, is if more than me shows up to pray. I'm just telling you now, that's kind of how I put it. If more than me shows up to pray, we're good, because that's what we're going to do. Where two or more are gathered, he's there, right? So I know that he has plans for this city, and what we're about to do is going to unlock some things for this neighborhood. We're going to have these cards. Let me back up. There's another little card that's kind of like the blue cards for the guest services that we do when we fill out information. We're going to have both of those available. So when we do this on Friday, we'll need to make sure to have pens or pencils or something too. And we're just going to knock on the door, and you don't have to say you're necessarily with Legacy Church. You can if that makes you feel comfortable, but you're going to have, we have our Love New Braunfels t-shirts here tonight, so you'll be able to take those home. Wear them on Saturday. If you want to wear them on Friday and Saturday, you can, just letting you know, but especially on Saturday is when we really want to wear them. But you can wear them on Friday if you want to, but we're just going to say, we're here with Love New Braunfels, and we just want to pray for you. You know, we just want to know, how can we pray for you? We're here to just be a blessing to you, and just want to know how to pray. If we can pray, if you have a prayer request, real simple. Now you can ask if they're like, oh no, we don't have anything wrong. So you don't need more money. You don't, no one needs a healing. You know, I mean, you can kind of try to start conversation that way and stuff too. Like, we just want to be a blessing. And you don't have to be pushy, but they're like, no, we're good, thanks. And they may shut the door on your face or whatever. They may do that. We would have some, what I would call, super religious. They were like, oh, well, what church are you from? And we would say, like, well, I'm Baptist. Shut the door, or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Or, no, we don't need it, thanks. Bless them. Bless them. Go to the next house. You know what I'm saying? Just, it's okay. Just move on. Ask the Lord how to pray. But a lot of people will tell you their stories. Well, yeah, we got this, and man, we got that, and you might turn into a counseling session at the door, which is possible and is okay, right? But you don't have to play counselor at the door, though, either. So listen, you know, and say, okay, so can we just go ahead and pray for that, like right now? Because some people think you're just going to write it down and like take it later, which we will do, but and that's what I was meaning about the other card, is have somebody write down while the other person is talking so that you can write down what the prayer requests are. And if they'll give us their name or any information, if they want us to call them back, you know, we can follow up with them. But here's the thing. We want to pray for them right then and there at the door if they'll let us. When you pray, I usually pray with my eyes open in situations like this, because I want to see what God is doing so that I can see if there's manifestations or if there's anything else going on. And it's a safety issue. We don't, you know, you're in street ministry here mode. If this person, if you feel like, you know, you're kind of person where you like to close your eyes and pray, that's fine. Then the second person has to have their eyes open. Again, that's a security, safety kind of issue. But it's also because you want to be in tune with whatever might be going on with Holy Spirit. If you have your eyes closed and this person falls out in the power of God, you're going to need someone to catch them. Do you know what I'm saying? So you're just going to have to kind of be aware of that. And I have done this. Now, I train people in this, and I have done it where I've prayed for people and have not thought about catching them and then had to catch them like half a second later. So when you are praying for somebody, if they're standing right here, can you just come up really quick? When I pray for people, I try not to pray for them. If you're standing at the door, here, well, I'll do it this way, yeah, so you can see. I usually don't try to stand directly in front of them. I usually step to the side just a little, because then I'm quicker to then catch them if I need to be able to intervene. I'm not saying that's going to happen. It may not happen at all. I'm just telling you, I've been surprised in the middle of Kmart and someone falling down and we have to catch them. So in the portable one time too. So I'm just telling you, remember to, go ahead and sit down, thanks, Horace. When we pray for healing or when we begin to pray, make sure you always ask if you can touch their arm or their shoulder or whatever it is. Do you mind if we hold your hand, you know, to pray or whatever? There's something about touch and impartation and power. If they'll let us touch, there's an access point there to release the power in a direct capacity if they'll do that. If they're not, it's okay. God can get them, right? We're right there. Peter's shadow can heal people, right? So all I'm saying is remember those kinds of protocols. I'm scanning the room, and I know most of you guys were all in that training, so I know you guys know better. But always ask permission first. I usually go with hands or just touch the shoulder or the elbow. If it's their knee or their back or someplace else, you can ask to bend down and touch their knee or something. A lot of times what I'll do is I'll have them touch where it hurts, and then I touch their hand. You know, so if they're going, oh, it's my hip over here. And I was like, can you put your hand where it hurts? And then I just touch on top of their hand. Does that make sense? Also be aware of women praying with women and men praying with men more than doing the opposite. Does that make sense? Like, you want to be really careful about that too as we're doing that. So just be thinking about those things. But when we're at the door, we'll be taking their prayer requests. If they don't want to give us their name and they don't want us to call them back to follow up, that's fine. But here's what I want you to know. We're just going to take your prayer requests. We're going to pray for you now, and then we're going to pray for them on Saturday night. We're going to have a revival service, a revival and healing service is what we've called it. We've got these great little flyers that we'll be able to give to them Saturday at 7 o'clock. It'll be here because we just want to be a blessing to the neighborhood, you know. And so it's for everybody in the city. It's non-denominational. This is just for the body of Christ to come together because, you know, you don't have to go to our church to come. I mean, you might have to say those kinds of things to people to invite them to come. But what we're going to do is we're going to lay all of those prayer cards on the altar and we're going to pray over them. And we're going to believe that these prayers are going to be answered, whether they're here or not. But if there are people that we've prayed for and whether they've had healing or if they hadn't, invite them to come and get prayed over again. You know, we'll have an altar team here praying again and that kind of a thing. So that's why we're doing that. But we're also doing it to prayer walk and cover the neighborhood, but literally going door to door. Now, there are a lot of houses in this area that have fences in the front yard. I personally feel like those are the ones that are saying, I don't feel safe. I've created a boundary in my front yard so that no one comes in. If you feel comfortable that there's access, a gate's open, and you can get to a door, great. Otherwise, check your spirit. If you don't, because there are a few houses I would not, especially if it says beware of dog, and I don't see the dog, okay? Then I'm going to stand at that fence, and I'm specifically going to pray against fear. I'm going to pray safety and security. Do you hear what I'm saying? I'm just going to ask the Lord how to pray and to bless the home from afar, and then we'll keep going. But there are a lot of those houses, so just hear the Lord on some of those. Be wise. But some of those, the Lord might direct you to go ahead and go up if you feel, but just get that check in your spirit and pay attention to it. And if the two of you at least agree, or the four of you in your team say, yeah, I think we're good, or they're like, yeah, I got the heebie-jeebies, then just listen to each other. We know in part and we prophesy in part. You know, we have different gifts. So just pray, okay? Pray and hear the Lord. It's an opportunity to practice you being able to hear the Lord and discerning even how to pray or what to pray or declare over that land and over that place, right? Do you hear what I'm saying? So while we're doing that on Friday, we're going to start at 1 o'clock. And do we have the maps? I thought he said the map. Oh, they're in here in the folder. We have maps here, and I'll talk a little bit more about this on Saturday when we go through them. But when we create teams for where we're going to go, whoever can come, what we've done is we've highlighted the block that I call West Side, the block of New Braunfels, where we are pretty much I-35 north and then Landa south here, and then all the way to Walnut on the northeast side, and then to Loop 337 on the left side. So that's a giant square of land. We probably won't hit all of that, okay, just so you know. But what we want to do is send a team in a different location And then what you're going to do is as you go through that street, you're going to highlight it with a highlighter so that we know what streets have been covered and which ones haven't. So in case other teams want to go on Saturday or even later, we know what areas we've covered and which ones we haven't. Does that make sense? So that way then we can do that. And then we'll also have then the prayer cards, and we will be inviting people with those little bitty cards about the service. And that'll be the main thing that we're going to announce is the service when we do that, and that we're praying for people. We will also be doing other ministry here, and I don't know that I really want us to advertise that as we walk through the neighborhood. I think the main thing we want to focus on is the prayer, praying for people right there, taking their prayer requests, and then the service. But on Saturday, well, let me back up, sorry. So Friday, we're going to start at 1, and we'll go as long as you guys can go. There's no end time for that. It's just however much time you guys can dedicate to it as a team or whatever. And you guys can have my cell number and then tell me if, you know, if your team ends or however you guys need to do that, whatever, if there's a time limit for some. I plan on doing that until the Lord says stop or until we get to 4 o'clock. So at 4 o'clock, just so you guys know, Jan Kingsbury does the spas walking tours here in New Braunfels. And spas means fun. And so she does the historical walking tours of the city. Now, I'm a brand new person, so I don't know enough about the history. I've done my own research, but I want to hear it from the horse's mouth, someone who really knows the stuff. So what she's offered is that we could have about 20-ish people sign up. It's $20 an adult, or if you have kiddos that want to come, it's $10 a kid. And she's going to meet us downtown and take us on a tour, a walking tour of the big murals that are all over downtown that display the history of New Braunfels. And she's going to tell us the goods. She's going to tell us the stories, the good, bad, and whatever of the history of the land. And then we're going to go to Landa Park and go to the Founders Tree and some of the other memorials there. And then the springs, which is the head of Comal River, right? And so that way we'll be able to cleanse the land there. The Founders Tree will be educated on how to pray for the city more specifically. Then we'll pray over the park area, the springs, and any of that, cleansing the water. And so we'll do another kind of like a prayer tour, if you will, there. And there's a small group of people from the ministry school in Abilene that are friends of mine. They're going to come join us and stuff too. And this is their mission trip. So they're super excited. They're like, whatever y'all doing, we're jumping in. And so they're going to come and help out with us. And then after that, I'll probably take them to Green for dinner or something. And we'll do street ministry maybe in Green. So you guys are all welcome to participate in that if you want to. Just come see me afterwards tonight before we leave so that I can get you signed up for the walking tour. But so Friday afternoon, that's all we're going to do. But then we'll come back on Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. We'll have worship for a little bit here, and we'll do a time of impartation and praying over one another, okay? Then we're going to go out, and here's where I need your help. Before you leave today, I know that most of you in here have registered. We've got t-shirts here available for you. But in the sign-up sheet, it said what times you guys were going to be available. So I just wanted to verify what times you're actually going to be here and what you feel like the Lord has laid on your heart in terms of an area of ministry on Saturday. If we have enough people and teams to send people out to continue prayer walking, then we'll do that. Okay, because that way then we can still promote the Saturday night service as well as continuing our prayer time. But the other ministries that are going to be happening is across the street here, we have a guy that does skateboard ministry coming in from Abilene. So he's going to hit the skate park. I think some of our youth might help with that as well. And then the children's area where there's a playground and all that kind of stuff over there, I have permission from the city to set up a couple of canopies and tables. And we're just going to have face painting, arts and crafts, you know, those little pipe cleaner rings that Latimer taught us how to do at the Creative Conference. And this is our opportunity to prophesy over the children. When we give them those rings, we can do prophetic art. Erica's got some ideas for just some fun little games to play and those kinds of things. Just interacting with the kids. Again, I don't know a single kid that hasn't had an injury at a skate park or riding their bike at some point, so there might be an opportunity to pray for healing, to pray for the parents, build relationship. We just want to be a blessing to them. We can have the cards available again, you know, for prayer and for the revival service. But that's what we'll be doing across the street at the park there. Over here, we have permission from our landlord. The guy that owns this building also owns the laundromat and the car wash. So the main, what I'm going to call visual ministry that will be happening here is going to be at the car wash. I have posters, so if anyone feels creative enough to want to get the posters from me and want to make the signs, you can, because I'm not super creative, but I'll do them. And we'll have free car wash signs, signs that, you know, will say, like, we just want to bless you, or, you know, hashtag love New Braunfels, or whatever. Like, you know, we want them to just come for a free car wash. Now, the way that the car wash is set up, I understand, is it's quarters for time. Or whatever. Okay, so it's like a dollar a minute or something crazy. But there's $5 for 15 minutes is the max time, right? Oh, it's a dollar for 3 minutes. Got it. Well, we're not going to do that one. We're doing $5 for 15 minutes because that'll give us more time to actually wash their car. If they want us to help them wash their car, then they're, you know, they've got the little guns, you know, the little water guns and the soap stuff or whatever, then we can offer to help them. But the main thing is we're paying for their car wash, and then what I want us to do is serve. I want us to serve them. I want us to talk them up. I think it'd be fabulous if we had enough people to actually wash their car while they're sitting back and talking to whoever, you know, feels like they can talk to them and minister to them while we wash their car. If they'll let us. If not, that's fine. We'll at least pay for it. But we're going to have towels to be the drying team, okay, because there's no dryer in that car wash. You just wash it, and then they drive off with it dripping. And so, again, it's just a way to serve. So there's going to be some labor involved. But that's, to me, that's the easiest black and white servant evangelism thing people can do if they're comfortable for just serving and they don't. You don't necessarily want to do the talking part. That's going to be the ideal spot for you, is to be able to do that. Or, again, tag team, where we can rotate, you know, people and going, okay, so some have done drying for an hour, and then you can rotate in and be one of the barkers, as I call them, that holds the, you know, the signs or whatever. Or then you can be the talker, you know, or whatever, that ministers to them. But y'all just, you're in your teams, you'll just kind of trade out and take turns. Does that make sense? So that's going to be the car wash area there. So that's more out loud, more obvious, you know, kind of servant evangelism. In the laundromat, it's going to be a little bit different just because of the nature of the laundromat. If you've ever been inside of a laundromat, it's quiet. People keep to themselves, you know, so it's going to be a little awkward for you to start conversation with people. So if it feels more natural, if I'm doing this ministry, which is what I was thinking of doing, especially if we're going to have towels from the car wash over there that we might need to dry every now and then in the dryer, I'll be running over to the laundromat to dry them so that we can have dry towels again to dry off the cars every hour or two. But I may bring my own towels so that you can sit there for an hour. You're doing something, but then it gives you an opportunity to have a conversation with somebody while they're doing it, offer to pay for their laundry. And apparently there's different load sizes, cost different amounts. We're just going to have rolls of quarters, okay? And so we're just going to offer to pay for their laundry. And then, you know, have conversation. That's kind of the whole point, is to practice getting outside of your comfort zone, have conversation. But for me, it would be easier for me to be folding towels or to be doing something or waiting for my own laundry as well, you know, unless I'm just going to canvass the whole place and say, so who can, did I get everybody in the store? Did I pay everybody's laundry? Okay. You know, I mean, that your personality is what matters and what feels right to you when you do it. But again, it's going to be about being relational. For some people, it might be a little bit more covert, you know, where it doesn't have to be so blatant, you know, and saying, hey, we're here to bless you guys. We just want to, you don't have to make the announcement. You know, you can just start talking to people, and as they come in, and just saying, hey, do you mind if I pay for your laundry? I just want to be a blessing to you. We're doing some service projects today, and, you know, find a script that you're comfortable with. You don't have to say it the way I would say it. Find a script that you're comfortable with. Find an approach that you're comfortable with. Be authentic, be real, but step out there, because most of the time we don't. We don't have those conversations with strangers. We stay in our little comfort bubble, and they stay in their little comfort bubble, and we don't really have conversations. But I'm going to tell you, every time I've ever struck a conversation with a stranger in a grocery store, at the airport, on the airplane, or whatever, God always shows up. He does something. Or, you know, if anything else, you're just being human, right? You're just being kind. I actually had a business person say this one time to me. We were waiting on the tarmac to get onto the plane, and the Lord gave me a prophetic word for this guy. He was dressed up in a suit, had his little, you know, backpack thing. And I told my husband at the time, this is years ago, and I was like, honey, I'm sorry, but I've got a word for this guy. Like, I apologized, right? Like, here you are, you're going to have to be with a crazy lady, going to give a guy a prophetic word in the middle of the airport. And I was like, it's okay, because I wanted to make sure he was comfortable, because I didn't want to make it awkward for him, because he's standing right there. And so he said, yeah, go ahead. And so I started talking to this guy and just, where are you headed? You know, or look at, you're in business. What do you do? Just kind of started natural conversation. And then I always say some little phrase like, well, I know this sounds funny, but, you know, God talks to me. And I really feel like the Lord wants you to know. And then I'll say this prophetic word, or I just got this picture in my head, and I'm wondering if it's about you, and if this, does this make any sense? You know, if I get a word of knowledge or something like that. And so this is an opportunity for you to be practicing all the supernatural stuff that we've been practicing here on Wednesday night. So praying over people for healing, prophesying over them, take risk. You may totally blow it and be able to be like, so, you know, do you happen to go mountain climbing? You know, kind of a thing. And they're like, no. And you're like, okay, well, I saw this picture of you climbing a mountain, and I'm not really sure what that means, but what I'm wondering is, God is saying, and so sometimes it could be a word of knowledge, or it might lead to a prophetic word. I actually had that for a college student one time, and I asked him that, and his eyes went like this, and he said, well, I'm not, but I just came back from a rock climbing trip. That's weird. Right? And I was like, okay, cool. And I stopped there for a second, and I thought, well, that's kind of cool. Got my word of knowledge. But then it turned into a prophetic word. Like, an unction came upon my spirit. And then I said, okay, so that was cool that I got that, but really there's more. And then I began to prophesy over him about some things that really hit home with him trying to figure out his major or whatever. So give yourself the opportunity to look like a fool. Right? Like, just try it. And if, you know, I've had some people, we did this ministry one time where we went into Starbucks and we just tried to guess people's names. So you might try that and go, okay, Jesus, what's their name? And I'll never forget this sweet lady. She's one of my favorites in the world, Miss Peggy. And she's probably late 70s, early 80s, and is in our ministry school practicing, you know, all this stuff. So she's in the line at Starbucks, and they start talking to this girl. She's like a college student, age, young 20s or whatever, and they're like, okay, so this sounds funny, but we're practicing hearing God. We're in this ministry school, and we've been practicing, and is your name Megan? And she's like, oh, it is. And so then Peggy's like, okay, I don't know what else to say, but I got your name, you know. And so then she just said, can I pray for you? That's the easiest thing up, because they're like, well, sure. Can I just bless you? Can I just pray for you? Is that okay? So as she prayed, she started to prophesy. She wouldn't have necessarily said it that way. But after she was done, I was like, you know, you just prophesied over her, right? Because she's like, I did, you know? So it just gives you an open door to do the supernatural ministry, but not necessarily look crazy, right? It's all about your relational approach, being authentic, caring about people, having conversation. And the biggest thing is, we've got to get past the fear of man. Does that make sense? Okay. Any questions so far about any of that and the ministry that we're actually going to do on Saturday? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so we might try that. We might try saying, would it be okay, instead of can I or may I? But again, doing everything by permission, being authentic, being relational, that's the key. Okay, so Saturday morning, 9 o'clock, we'll start worship, do impartation. We'll head out at 10 o'clock. to wherever it is that you are, your locations are. Now, some people are going to be here all day till 3. Some people are going to come in and out for their hour or two that they've signed up for, and that's fine. But before you leave tonight, let me know where you plan on being. So I know, okay, if you're only going to be here for an hour, well, where are you going to be? So that I know who's covered what area. Does that make sense? So that I know, like, how to put the teams together tonight before you leave. And then once we're done at 3 o'clock, we're going to come back here and just share testimonies. We're going to do a little bit of worship again and share some testimonies. I don't plan on being here really long, but if we have 2 hours with the testimonies, fabulous, you know. But I want us to share testimonies because it'll stir up our faith and encourage each other about what's happened. And then at 7 o'clock, of course, is going to be the revival service. And it's going to be very much like we do Sunday morning on some level in terms of, you know, we're going to need some of you guys to help with greeting. We're going to, you know, we are going to have childcare for the littles. And we're going to do worship, and then Jay's going to do a simple gospel message. But then we're going to go after, we call it a revival and a healing service, because we're going to go after that specifically. So we're asking people to come ready to give words of knowledge. If you didn't already give them when you were out there doing ministry, hang on to them, write them down, ask the Lord to give you some things, you know, check your body, you know, all those kinds of things that we've trained before. Lord, what do you want to heal tonight? What are you going after? And so if you get some of those words, we're going to have you guys as our ministry team. Those of you, you know, want to practice it, are going to be able to come up here, and we're going to just pass the mic. And what you're going to do is just begin to tell, okay, so I had a pain in the left shoulder. Does anybody have any pain in the left shoulder? Does anybody have any pain in the left shoulder right now? Just even as I said that, because sometimes that happens when I use examples. So anyway, so if there's a pain on the left shoulder, then anybody would come up. Then, you know, at the end of the service, we want everybody to come up with that so we can begin to pray for it corporately. The Lord can touch them just by standing up. We have divine healings. And if not, then they can come up to the ministry team at the end of the service. And then we'll be going after healing and praying for people for healing. It's also a great time to pray for prophetic words and prophesying and stuff too. This weekend comes, I'm going to ask you to do a couple things, though, too. Ask about the words of knowledge, but to jump a little bit on Dorothy talking about treasure hunting. Has anybody ever done what's called a treasure hunt? Have you guys prayed and asked for direction and gone on a treasure hunt? Okay, so not very many. When we use that language, there's actually a book Kevin Dedman wrote called The Ultimate Treasure Hunt. And like I said, ultimately, if we pray a person into the kingdom, that's the greatest of all. Okay, but it's leading up to that and introducing Jesus to them, doing the servant stuff, prophesying or praying for them in that manner. When you do a treasure hunt, the rules, if you will, what you typically do is you set aside some time to pray, seek the Lord, worship, but then listen. But ask some specific questions. Ask for male or female, age group, married, not married, children, no children. What color? Give me a color, Lord, you know. So the color might be what they're wearing. It might be I'll tell you an example in a minute, or it'll be directional, like it'll kind of be a clue, because that's what a treasure hunt is, right? You're looking at a map, and you're looking for wherever X marks the spot, okay? So that's where you're trying to figure out where to go. So, again, if we're in kind of a dead zone or a dead space on Saturday, or everything's pretty much covered, and some of you guys want to go out to Land Park, or you want to go to Fisher Park, or the Lord says, go to HEB. So he might tell you a location. So, for example, one time, it's my favorite testimony, I've shared this before, I'm sure, we decided to go to the local Kmart in Abilene. And so he said, go to Big K. We said, okay. So we landed in Big K, and we go, now what? He said he had yellow, he had, let's see, and there's 3 or 4 of us, and we all shared our clues, by the way. We all got different clues, and then we all shared them so that we know what everybody else got too. But I'm looking at my little piece of paper, right? But everybody else is looking at their individual paper, because sometimes everything on your paper is going to meet that person. So sometimes, like, let's say we had yellow on there, and I saw a lady with a yellow shirt, and she was kind of highlighted to me. When I say that phrase, it means that person stands out to me longer than normal. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, that's what I mean when the Lord highlights somebody, they tend to stand out, or you stare at them half a second longer than normal. So they stick out at you. So then I was like, okay, well, there's a lady with a yellow shirt. I don't know if she meets anything else on the list, so let's go ask her. So we would say, So we're on a treasure hunt, and we think you might be my treasure. On here, I have a yellow shirt, and I have yellow, and you're wearing yellow. So I'm wondering if anything else on here makes sense. So I'll have an ailment or two on there, like, Lord, what is it that you're wanting to heal? Or if there's a situation that's going on, you know, someone's in the hospital or, you know, there's a job situation. Like, what is it that you're wanting to take care of? Or some other kind of description, like I had female, yellow, you know, that kind of a thing. And so she looked at it and like nothing made sense to her on that card. I was like, fail one. All right. You know, strike one. So I said, okay, well, do you mind if I pray for you anyway? Like, do you have anything that I can pray for you about? And some people will be like, no, I'm good, thanks. Okay, have a great day, move on. Some people will let you. Sure, I guess, go ahead and pray. So we had mother-daughter, specifically Hispanic mother-daughter, and when we were in the store, we saw a Hispanic mother pushing a little boy in the cart. And I'm like, well, it's not a little boy, but it's a mother child. So why not? We'll try. So when we approached her, showed her the list, nothing on the list made sense to her. But when we asked to pray, she immediately broke into tears and she let us pray for her situation that was going on with her sister. So we just blessed her, prayed for her, agreed with her, and then that was it, right? That's it. So did I get my treasure yet? No. And so you may not get the things that God puts on your list, but the whole point is engage anyway. You know, it's not about necessarily the list, but sometimes God will show up specifically with the list. And here's what happened. So I'm frustrated. I'm just going to be real. I'm like, all right, Jesus, this isn't quote working. You know, I've already failed two or three times. We've paid for two or three people. Our 2 hours is almost up. We had a 2-hour time block that we did this. And, you know, and I'm one of the teachers, right? So I'm like, you know, it'd be really nice to kind of get this one. So I prayed again. I said, all right, Jesus, where are we supposed to go in this store? So it wasn't on my list, but he said perfume. I said, okay, fragrance of heaven, let's go. So I went to go look for the perfume aisle. And in this particular one, it was like a half aisle. So there's like a little, I don't know how else to describe it. It wasn't a full aisle, but it was kind of like a little half aisle. So there's like the little shelf of all the perfumes and the makeup and stuff was all on this aisle over here. So some of y'all know Naomi. She was with me. And I remember looking at the perfume aisle and I'm like, okay, Jesus, there's nobody around, right? There's nobody around. I'm in the perfume aisle. I'm going to wait here for a little bit. So I start looking and I start seeing like eternity. And I start, you know, so I'm looking at these little, I'm like, is there a clue on the, on the labels? I'm like, what are you trying to tell me, Jesus? I'm just standing here. There's nothing else going on. I was like, I don't know. So I was totally ready to go, okay, I think we're done. And then right around the corner comes these two Hispanic women. They are in about their mid-40s to 50s. And one of them immediately went to the makeup where the mascara was all in yellow and yellow bottles. And I thought, oh, yellow, you know, there's people, let's get them, right? So I went in there and started talking to them. Well, Naomi speaks Spanish. And so she went ahead and started talking with them in Spanish. I only know a little bit. I can't speak fluently, but I know enough to kind of catch on. And so she totally started that, took my list and said, and took her list and started talking to them. And then the sister that started speaking in English, and she's like, oh, yes, you need to pray for this and this. And she just went, she was one of those that was like really excited, and she has this whole long list of all, oh, yeah, and she needs prayer for this. She's talking about her sister here, right? She needs prayer for this and this and this and this. And the sister didn't speak English very well, the one that she wanted us to pray for, but the other one was going on. I was like, okay, well, let's pray, you know? And so, you know, we thought, well, you know, we had mother, daughter on the list. It's like, so is that, any of this stuff make sense to you besides the yellow? And they just lost their mother like a month before or 2 months before, something recent. And so they said ever since then, the sister who didn't speak English began just getting really depressed. She just was grieving and she couldn't let go of the grief at all. So as we began to, Naomi started praying for her in Spanish or whatever, and so then we started moving into English because I wanted to pray, and then she was kind of translating for me. And the sister, she just cracked me up because she was like raising her hand up. We're in the middle of the aisle here, and she's raising her hand up. She's like, yes, yes, you know, and she's pretty loud. She's a charismatic Catholic, I found out. They're both Catholic. And so we were praying for her, and then I started to get a word of knowledge about something else on the paper, and then around the corner comes a teenage girl, and then the aunt says, here's her daughter. So we're like, there's another mother-daughter, right? So there's another mother-daughter, and then the aunt starts going, oh, yeah, and you need to pray for her about this and this and this, and she was a dancer, and her dance teacher, da-da-da-da-da. Like, you know, just goes through the whole long list. Of, I mean, she was going after it. She was hungry. And so we're like, okay. So, you know, the daughter's like, what's going on, you know? And so we explained it to her, and so she's like, sure. Immediately started praying for her over this whole, like, dance thing that happened, and she began to weep and cry. And so I kept feeling like something else was going on with the other one. Naomi was praying for her. So I went back, and the Lord gave me a word of knowledge about the grief that I asked if the mother had always dealt with depression, because they said something about depression, and she said yes. And I said, I think that spirit traveled into the sister. And that was just a word of knowledge. And I said, did it only happen then, or was it before then too? She said, no, it happened then. And then the sister said, can you also pray for my friend who's struggling with depression as well? He was in a support group with her. And I'm a counselor, so I'm like, well, yeah, let's pray for him. And then I started to say, you know, after we pray for you, you're going to have words for him that you're going to go and pray for him about. So we're going to pray for him as I pray for you, but I want you to know you're going to have something to tell him to pray for him, to help break that off of him too. And so she agreed with that. And so as I began to pray, the spirit rose up and I began to prophesy a little bit. But then something really weird happened. I said, the minute I rebuked the spirit of depression and heaviness, that grief that attached itself to her, she was like this. I mean, the other sister was like this with her hand raised high, but she was just kind of like this, really quiet with her eyes shut. And she did this. She quickly looked up at me and she said, no. And looked me dead in the eyes. And then her face changed, and she's like, and then she speaks Spanish, and the daughter's talking to her, and the aunt's talking to her, and I don't know what's going on. And then the daughter says, she doesn't know why she just said that. And I said, well, I do. And I rebuked the spirit, and I told it to leave, and this is when she goes, really loud, falls back. I had to quickly catch her. Thank God Naomi was right there, you know, too, on the other side of her. That's why I'm telling you, you never know what's going to happen when you start praying for people. She fell out. She's weeping and crying. The sister's standing there going, yes, Jesus, yes, and she's pacing, and there are people coming down like the aisles and stuff trying to figure out what's going on, and she's on the floor, and I'm on the floor praying over her. Naomi's at her head, and we're just kind of praying quietly or whatever and rebuking, and she's just pacing around. The daughter's like standing there not knowing what to do. And the aunt's like, she's okay. No, it's all right. She's okay. You know, she's like telling everybody to like not be worried. You know, it was crazy amazing. When she gets back up, we asked her what happened. She's wiping her face. Her face looks completely different. She's in joy. And she said, I just felt this white light flash in front of me. And it was gone, is what she said. It just left her. And I said, and now you have something to say to your friend, right? You now you received it, so you can go give it away or whatever. And then they're all reaching in their purses trying to pay us money, you know, and we're like, no, no, no. And it was funny because she's like, no, we got to buy you a hamburger. Jesus said, we got to buy you a hamburger. I was like, you're not buying me a hamburger, you know, like, you know, so you just never know. But it was one of the most fun out-of-the-box experiences, though, and I share that with you as a testimony because I was failing at something but pressed in and kept asking God. And so the thing is you may walk away a little, you know, less than satisfied, because I've had those days, too, where I'm like, okay, doesn't really look like I did a whole lot, Jesus. Like, you know, I've planned another mission trip, you know, previously before, and the skeleton on it was like, I don't know, doesn't really look like much is really happening compared to other ones that I've planned. But we're just going to be spirit-led. And God showed up in a crazy way. I can't even tell you everything that happened spiritually. And it was just a two-day trip, kind of like we're doing here. And so that's why the team that's coming is super expectant. Like, they're expecting crazy whatever. And all more than anything, it was confirmation in our spirit that we know we activated something. It wasn't necessarily all the crazy healing testimonies or deliverance or whatever. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, so we may not have a whole lot of that. I don't know what God's going to do. But all I know is we've prepared an opportunity and said, God, we're giving you this. We're giving you our time. When we prayer walked this area several months ago, several of you guys were here with us when we did it. I did not direct anybody to go outside of our property line, but almost all of us felt pulled to go all the way to the corner around the car wash and around the backside of the property line covering that laundromat. And so I'm just telling you, I feel like those were words that were released to each one of us as a body that we've been praying after. And I think that's what God is going to do. He's doing something on this land. That's what we're going to do. And then Saturday night, like I said, we'll do the healing thing, and we will still have church on Sunday morning, you know, so we'll be able to share all the testimonies of everything that happened on Sunday morning. And I want to encourage you guys to be open, to be a part of that, and to be sharing and share with us your testimonies and your experiences. And even if you totally feel like you failed at it, you know what I mean? Like, what did God do for you? How did he stretch you getting past the fear of man, just stepping out for the first time, maybe, and practicing treasure hunting, asking for those words of knowledge, and then going, you're wearing a yellow shirt. Maybe you're my treasure, you know? Because people are like, what game are you playing when you say that? You know what I mean? You're like, wait, you treasure hunt? Like, not scavenger hunts, treasure hunt. Well, we think you might be the treasure because you're God's treasure. And we're looking for people to pray for and to bless. And sometimes it just directed us, the person, to go, well, is there anything else going on in your life that we can pray for? It might not have been on the list, but it was an open door of access that we were being intentional to connect with people, to offer to pray with them, and we were going to be foolish enough to ask God to show up and to get words of knowledge or pray for people. Does that make sense? So that's the heart of what we're doing this weekend. So whether you do an actual treasure hunt, I'm going to encourage you to ask the Lord to give you some clues. I know people who have dreamed literal faces of people that they're going to pray for, then go to the location and find that person. Literally. So God will tell you some of those things. And those are crazy, fun, and amazing. So I'm pulling on heaven and asking God to release that. Father, I ask that you release the ability to be able to hear your voice so specifically, so clearly, that we get those specifics, that we get situations, pain in people's body, that we get whatever the breakthrough is that you want us to release. Father, I ask that you right now just release a greater level of revelation and impartation into those supernatural gifts. Holy Spirit, we ask, for you're the giver of the gifts. We ask that you would accelerate and enhance our ability to hear you and to be led by you, when to go somewhere, when to not go somewhere, what to say, how not to say it, that you would lead, guide, and direct every single one of our steps and conversations, not only this weekend during Love New Braunfels, but even leading up to that, that Lord, even tonight in the night watch as we sleep, that as our body and our soul rests, that our spirits would arise and receive downloads of heavenly revelation, not just for us, but for all of those you want us to come in contact with. Lord, we want to advance your kingdom. We want to partner with you. We want to pray what you're praying. We want to say what you're saying. We want to declare and decree on the earth as it is in heaven. And we just want to be used by you. We are thankful, God, that there is an invitation to partner with you in your business, in the Father's business, the way Jesus did. Lord, we want to see healings. We want to see people delivered. We want to see hearts touched and transformed. We want to see hope be renewed. We want to see families be restored. We want to see safety and security on this land. Lord, we want to see a heavenly makeover in the west side of New Braunfels. Lord, I'm asking for radical transformation. I'm asking that this would be land that people would speak about and say, my goodness, did you hear what amazing thing happened on that side of New Braunfels? I want words to come out of people's mouth in this city that would be amazing proclamations, declarations of hope and miracles, signs and wonders. That's what we're asking for, God. And we thank you that you want to do it more than we do. So thank you, Lord, for the opportunity. And I just release a blessing upon each one that's here and each one that's coming, each one that's listening. Lord, that you prepare us to be the army of the Lord in every place we go. That you tap on our shoulder and remind us of these things. Whether it's this weekend or not, whether we're in the grocery store, at the gas station, visiting a relative or a family member, Lord, that we're sensitive to your voice. That we're sensitive to your leading, and that we will obey. We will obey outside of our comfort zone, outside of fear, but in full surrender to you, because you are our Lord, not just our Savior. You are our King. You are our Father. And we love you. And it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, so what I'm going to ask you to do before we break out, before you leave, please come and see me so that I can give you your t-shirts and then double check your assignment about where you think you want to be, or if you want to rotate to the two or three different places, you're welcome to do that too. But double check that with me before you leave. And then while you're waiting, I'm just going to encourage you guys to pray for each other. If anybody has any prayer requests or anything, just check in with two or three people, hug a couple necks, and pray for each other, okay? And so we'll see you guys if you're here Friday at 1:00. If not, Saturday morning at 9:00.